Connectivity 192. I'm your host, Nicholas Bray, and once again, I'm joined by Adam Abunasa.
Yahoo!
Becky Hollander.
I don't know what to say other than hi. I'm not as interesting as Adam.
You could say Final Fantasy something or other. I don't know.
Final Fantasy something addict. Recovering Final Fantasy addict.
I spent all week thinking of what to say.
And Chiron is also with us again.
Yeah, I spent the last 5 minutes thinking of what to say. Alas, poor wallet. I knew him, amiibo.
I saw the Animal Crossing amiibo at the shops yesterday and considered buying a couple, but I didn't.
You're a stronger man than I.
We're going to be getting an Isabel at some point.
Isabel is out.
Isabel's out, yeah.
You're going to buy one.
Yeah. One of my friends tempted me with a lot of amiibo the other day. He lives over in the UK, and he sent me a picture. He's like, oh, yes, any of you over in the US need any of these? And he sent pictures, and it's just this wall of amiibo. And I'm like, money, why? Need so many of them. But
so, Chiron, how's your finger going?
It's much better. It's not bothering me anymore when I play games, so that's good. I think I'm on the road to a full recovery.
Nice. That is
good.
That's good to hear.
Good news. Get well soon, guys.
I have to make sure to keep water away from the cats and vice versa.
And your Yoshi amiibo.
Yes, and the Yoshi amiibo.
So, what have you been playing this week or doing?
Hunted down a Mega Yarn Yoshi, and it's actually it's actually a pretty nice size. At first I was afraid because the Yoshi Yarn amiibos are only yay big, so they're sort of cute. So I'm like, if it's twice the size, that's not that. But it was fun, and it was fun lining out, even if it was lining up instead in front of a Toys R Us, even if it was for 40 minutes. It reminded me of lining up for like a Wii when it first came out. I met with a bunch of other people outside of a Toys R Us. Something about lining up with
memories.
Other crazy people.
Lining up is fun. I mean, I remember lining up for the Wii at a Toys R Us here and accidentally broke someone's Master Sword.
What? How did you do that?
We were like just sort of mucking around and I just dropped it by accident.
Oh.
And then you had to wait in line with them for the next X hours.
Yeah, well, I sort of knew her because she used to work at Toys R Us and she ran the Pokemon trading card league there. Uh-huh. So sort of knew her already. But
were you hitting against the wall looking for weaknesses?
No, actually, the sad thing is I was just holding it and it just slipped out of my fingers.
Oh, just butterfingers.
Yep. Anyway, sorry, what were you saying, Chiron?
I completely forgot now that like
Mega,
I've got
Mega
image
Yon
of you
Yoshi, yeah, the Mega Yon
smacking
Yoshi,
that Master Sword against the wall,
breaking somebody's.
I'm not even sure if the Mega Yoshi has come out here or if, like the stock was like limited or something. It mustn't have come out yet because I haven't seen one.
It mustn't have because usually I contemplate skipping the whole lining up thing and just begging someone from overseas to like because It's stressful. I love hunting amiibo, but like they just announced, you know, the ones that'll come out in January and February, and I'm like, oh god, slow down already. I need a break. And series 2 of the Animal Crossing amiibo cards are coming out, and I'm like, you know, it's sort of like when they release a new Street Pass puzzle. It's like I just finished all the pink pieces on my existing Street Pass puzzle. I don't need to stress out about finding people who have those pieces, and then they announce a new one, and then I'm just never you think you're
right
out.
Back where you were.
Yeah, I think they're supposed to be fun, not stressful.
I think you're doing something wrong.
It's fun until you make it stressful. You know, until you like apply that like I won't be happy until I have a full collection. So it's sort of myself, I guess.
Tisk tisk.
Yeah, it's a problem. I I will need to see some help about it. Someone, please stop me.
Yeah, I think I was like,
just you could just wait like a couple of years, and you'll be able to get all the ones you're missing for really cheap and lots on eBay, I reckon.
You hope.
You hope.
Hasn't it's exactly been a thing here in the U.S. This whole extra amiibo thing.
Yeah, and there's always the question of, are they going to release that amiibo outside of the game bundle? And they've been pretty good with that, with Green Yanyoshi, and now, who did they unpackage? Chibi Robo got unpackaged, so you can get that individually now.
Yeah. I'm mad about that, because Chibi Robo is, the new one is an awful game, but I wanted the amiibo. So now I have a physical version of this crappy game.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, dang. If I had just waited, I wouldn't have had to buy this stupid game that I don't even want.
But you're also not sure that they're going to do that. And I mean, they've been good so far, but if they could just announce it ahead of time, you don't need to buy the game, I'd be able to breathe easier.
And... But they're not going to do that, because they don't want you to, like, hold out and not buy the game. They want you to buy
and
it.
Now
they
I've
don't
got,
care
like...
how.
And now I've got, like, Twilight Princess, like, on pre-order, even though I'm like, I don't want to buy a Twilight Princess remake.
I don't really either, because I still own the one for the Wii. So I'm like, why do I need a remake? But I want that Wolf. I really want Wolf Link.
I want that, Wolf Link.
So
or
bad.
Midna Link, whichever one you're focusing on. Or two rock platforms, Link.
However you want to call it. Get more creative with the name as the days go by.
So, Becky, what have you been doing?
Well, I haven't actually played a whole lot of things since I was on Connectivity, like, 2 weeks ago? A week ago, something. But I did buy Undertale to play, so there's that. I haven't started it yet, but I bought it. So, because, like, all of my friends have been playing it, so they're just like, oh my god, this is so much fun, you really have to try it. So, I'm kind of, you know, the caboose on that as far as pulling up last to actually play it. So I keep being like, no, guys, don't talk about it anymore, I want to play, stop. But by the same token, I don't actually know when I'm going to start it, because I'm really bad at that kind of thing. Prioritizing games, you know, I've already played and replaying them before I play new ones, so... They could be waiting a while for me to actually finish. But that's basically been it, really.
So, Adam, you're next.
Well, in honor of the new Pokemon Mystery Dungeon game, I decided to play the last one, which I bought and then played, like, once. I don't even know why I bought it. I bought...
Yeah, do you like this?
I played the first one and I didn't get into it at all. And then the second one, the DS one, I got, like, so obsessed into, like, I wanted to do everything, and I had the guide and was going all through it. And then this one came out, and I was really excited for it, and I played the demo, and the demo was awful and really boring. So I bought it anyways and never ended up playing it. Normally in Pokemon games, you can pick how fast the dialogue goes, but not in this one. It goes as fast as it wants to. And you can't, it's a very chatty game. Everyone has opinions about friendships and why you should all be friends. And there's a Pokemon that doesn't want to have any friends. But then there's another Pokemon that really wants to be friends with that Pokemon. And you want to be friends with all the Pokemon. So there's a lot of talk about being friends.
Gotta
friend them all.
Japan likes
the actual
friendship.
Gameplay. What?
I said Japan really likes friendship.
Yeah, that's what their economy runs on. It runs on friendship. But the gameplay is, it's pretty good. It's just like the old ones. At some point they took out like a hunger meter, which used to be really annoying. Ooh. I don't remember which one they took that out of, but it was just annoying. I totally dig it. I'll probably get more into it. I think I'm past the sort of initial talky parts, and now I can actually go into the dungeons.
Are you into roguelikes?
This is the only one I've ever played.
Well, I mean, it's
and it's.
Mm-hmm. What are the other ones? There's like Mystery Dungeon, just the plain straight up Mystery Dungeon. Is Etrian Odyssey's or not?
Yeah, Etrian Mystery Dungeon. That one was interesting. Got to play through it back when I was reviewing it. I'd actually never played a Mystery Dungeon game before that, so it was unusual. Felt very Etrian, but at the same time, most of the mechanics were actually kind of different. So it was like, yeah, this is an Etrian. I think this is Mystery Dungeon. Yeah, we're going to go with that. But I think it added a lot of interest to the game, honestly. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, the only ones I've ever played are the Pokemon ones. I'll buy pretty much anything that says Pokemon on it, so...
Makes sense.
Did you buy Pokemon Dash?
Oh god, it was awful, but I played it so much.
You should have bought Sprung.
I have Sprung, I'm looking at that too. I'm looking at my DS shelf right now. In that game...
And Pack Picks!
I never bought Pack Picks.
You should. Oh my gosh. I mean, I was not looking for Namco at the time, so I can say that I bought it completely without agenda. But it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I heard good things about it. I just never bought it.
The Pokemon game that I always wanted as a kid was the Hey You Pikachu game.
Ooh.
Because they never came out here, and it looked amazing.
Wait, that's the N64 one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I found one, like, at a discount store years later. And picked it up. And the microphone is pretty bad at picking stuff up, or at least my experience was.
They must have repurposed it for the Wii Speak.
It's not a great game, and it says in the manual that, like, it works great with children's voices and women's voices. So any adult man that tries to get it,
men are not allowed to play.
And I got it for my 12th birthday, so I played it as much as I could before my voice changed. And I feel like I wasted a good chunk of my childhood when I could have been like playing outside or making friends.
But you were making friends with Pikachu.
Yeah, but he's really bad at it. I would just say things to him and he'd get this angry face and yell at me.
Well, I mean, it could have been worse. You could have been making friends with Seaman.
Yeah, I'm grateful I never did that.
There you go.
That would not have been a good experience for a 12-year-old.
You really would have regretted it later.
They should try and bring that Pikachu game to the Virtual Console.
No!
All they'd have to do is make it work with the gamepad microphone.
Or the Wii Speak.
Revolutionary idea.
Okay, so I went back to Pokemon Y for a little bit while I was at work. Because I hadn't played it for ages. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I'm going to try and get into like trying to capture more Pokemon, fill out the Pokedex. Because every generation I buy the game and I start off going, yes, I'm going to get all of them this time. I'm going to do it again. And, you know, I always fall off the wagon. So I'm trying to go back to get all the Pokemon, but it's just, I don't know. There's a long road ahead of me. I'm probably not going to do it.
You can do it. I have faith in you.
Have you guys ever done the entire Pokedex?
I never do it in one game. I'll do, like, the local Pokemon, the new Pokemon for each game.
Yeah.
And just knowing that I have them on other games makes me not really want to, like, move them all and do all that bullshit.
Mm.
So I complete the local Pokedexes, and then in my heart, I know that I've caught them all. I don't need the damn certificate.
The woohoo certificate. Yeah, the only time I ever did it, honestly, was Pokemon Blue. It was my very first Pokemon game. Yeah. I haven't done it since. I've just been too lazy.
Same, yeah. What? I didn't even get it all of them in Gold and Silver.
I almost did, but I started... I think it was, like, the legendaries that I was a little bit fuzzy on.
Yeah, yeah.
But...
I always thought the getting... capturing the dogs was just...
Oh my god, it's such a pain.
Yeah.
Oh god.
Yeah. So unfair.
I know. Or at least everything else stops and actually, like, fights you. You kind of have a chance, but... Those jerks just run, and you're like, really? I got one hit in. Unless you're fast enough to put them to sleep, and then even then you're, like, taking, you know, the chance that they're not just going to wake up and run.
Yeah, the first time that I ran into Entei, I didn't know that they were traveling.
Mm-hmm.
So I stayed in that area looking for Entei for like an hour. I was like, so mad. I was like, "What? What's he doing over there?"
So while we're talking about Pokemon, the original games were announced for the 3DS Virtual Console. Would be coming out next February. Are we all excited about that?
I'm so excited.
I can't. I poured 150 hours into that game. I can't give it any more of my life.
I mean, it only takes like 15 or 20 hours to beat.
Not the way I play it. 15 or 20 years.
Right?
Not if you want to level up all Pokemon equally.
Yeah.
They must all be treated equally because, you know, they must all know that there are no favorites in my Pokemon team.
Oh, are you kidding? There's totally favorites in my team.
As well. Yeah, I used to try and have like all of my Pokemon around the same level, like my team. So you'd spend a while just training. Well, I would get, say, early in the game, you'd get your main starter to like level 12 before you go and face Brock. And I'd have to then grind. I made myself grind the rest of my team to the same levels before
me too.
I
went
in.
Yeah, I actually tended to do that. At least with my team, you know, I was very, very sparing with the other Pokemon that I leveled unless I was going for Pokedexes and needed to evolve some things. Everything else just kind of sat in the boxes.
Once I discovered the rare candy cheat, I mean, that was so much easier. Yeah. I just loved like being able to like get evolutions by just using the rare candy.
Yeah, I actually admit I did not do that in the only game I have ever gotten all of the Pokemon. Because it was, I actually, the first time I ever started my Pokemon game, I did the rare candy cheat just like everybody else, but I also, you know, was young and stupid and thought catching the Snorlaxes that appeared in that area was a good idea, and it ended up glitching my game. And I lost all of my Pokemon in every single one of my Pokemon boxes and had to restart the game. So I was just like, nope, not doing it, not doing it ever again.
Wait, what happened? How did it?
I guess I put them away in my PC because I didn't want to use all of them. I caught like six or something like that. And I automatically went to my PC and I left most of them there. And one day I turned my game on and went back to my box to grab one of my other Pokemon and switch one of them out. And they were all gone. Like, the only things that were left were those stupid Snorlaxes. I know.
Weird.
And I was like, what happened? And I remember being like super mortified and just obviously not really figuring it out right away, but I was like, yeah, it was because I caught these things, wasn't it? Crap.
Man, that explains so much about you.
What?
That childhood memory just
that
scarred
trauma.
You. I can hear it in your voice.
Cried for weeks. I never got over it.
So it was pretty, like, fairly surprising, I guess, that they're finally, like, bringing them out. And they're actually enabling the trading and everything,
yeah.
So
I kind of feel
yeah,
like
I'm
it's
so
just
excited.
Surprising that it took this long, really.
Hmm. Well, yeah.
I just feel like
it could have happened a while ago.
They're so popular, and it's just one of those things that, you know, everybody, I mean, yeah, you don't really necessarily need to go back and play the old version since, you know, you have a new version coming out every year, just about. But, you know, you got all of the new Pokemon fans that are younger and stuff, and I feel like they hear all of the older fans talk about the original games and the original Pokemon, and, you know, so I just kind of feel like it was one of those things that, for nostalgia reasons, they'd release it, but also just to kind of bring everybody back to how it started every once in a while, and because it'd make it easier to collect some of the older Pokemon if you could trade them.
Well, what?
But,
well, these won't help you.
But yeah,
that.
That's true, but because they're virtual.
You know, what I think happened is when the 3DS came out, Pokemon was like 16 years old, so they just missed that anniversary. So they said, oh, we'll do something for the 20th anniversary with the original games. And then they just completely forgot about it. And then someone was like, what are you going to do for the 20th anniversary? And they were like, shit, we forgot to do anything.
We've got nothing.
So they just took the games as is and dumped them onto the eShop. Like, it was probably announced at the Direct for the first time, like, that any of the people working on it heard about it.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, we only have, like, 3 months to do this? Like, I guess we better get started.
I sort of like games as is. Like if I'm playing stuff on Virtual Console, I want to I want to get it with all of its, you know, retro glory. I don't want to remaster it. I don't want new stuff. Just give it to me as faithful as possible. If possible, with the bugs and glitches and everything, you know.
I hope they keep the bugs.
If it's a virtual console release, they, you know, they shouldn't really go in and adjust anything. Yeah. Really. I mean, the trading's one thing because that's sort of crucial to the gameplay. Mm-hmm. So they want to preserve that. But I've read online that some people are suggesting, oh, they should go in and tweak some of the moves that, you know, don't work correctly, or tweak this and tweak that. And I'm like,
But then all the game facts from the 90s won't be worth it anymore. Yeah,
the only change that I think would be maybe a good change would be to unlock the Surfing Pikachu game in Pokemon Yellow.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because you can't actually unlock it in the standard game. You need Pokemon Stadium.
Yeah, or brings Pokemon Stadium to Wii U Virtual Console.
Yeah, that's the other option, which, you know, maybe the Wii U and the 3DS can connect to each other locally. Yeah, so
that could always be a thing. Would be worth it just for that Lickitung game.
I know, God, I remember loving that game.
Why is it that,
I played those mini games a lot more than I did anything else on Pokemon Stadium. I'm not gonna lie.
Oh, they were great.
I mean, it only had like a couple, but there were a couple shine out ones. Like, I've got Animal Crossing Amiibo Festival, and there's like a shine out mini game there. I mean, a standout mini game there, and it's just like, wow, this is really compelling.
Actually, have you played much of Amiibo Festival?
Yes, I have, and I'm used to being in the minority on this, but I'm comfortable with Amiibo Festival. It is what it is. Like, early on, E3 it was announced, and I looked at it, and even then I was sort of getting the, like, Candyland vibe from it. But it's more than that. It's not much more, but it's just, maybe I'm just in love with the Animal Crossing world, because usually I've been playing it late at night, and I'm, like, exhausted, but I'm not in the mindset to get to sleep. So I just want to watch Animal Crossing characters walk around town and, you know, pick up bells and shoot down balloons.
So what you're saying is it helps you go to sleep.
You know what? Phoenix Wright helps me go to sleep. So that's not a bad thing. Okay.
Yeah.
But, it's calming.
You don't mind playing the...
It's like peaceful.
You don't mind playing the game by yourself then.
I don't. It's like peaceful. Okay. You know, it's like... It's more than Candyland. I mean, you walk around, there's special events, there's screen spaces. You have to do every 7 days, Joan comes around, so you got to do the turnips game and balance risk and reward. But, and so that's really it with the board game. You've got different months you can get stuff, but, so you can have like different holidays and stuff. But it's very mellow. And it's just like, I can play it and I don't need to obsess about paying like super strong attention and getting and being like super invested in like landing jumps or anything. It's just I'm rolling the dice and I'm just seeing what happens in this Animal Crossing village. And every once in a while I yell at the computer for like doing ridiculously random luck based things that screw me over, but you know, it's Animal Crossing. Even in the end, everyone's happy, you know. Even on that in that game, even the bad spaces are like happy. It's like, oh, I went shopping and bought a new TV. You know, I can't wait to try it out. Minus 2,000 bells. So, so it's like the bad spaces are like, I'm happy. I just lost money, but I'm happy.
It feels very
Animal
Crossing.
It's like really positive. Yeah, it's
very
Animal
Crossing. Is there a tile you can land on? Bought 10 Amiibo.
I haven't seen that. I've seen like a tile where it's like I got my friends together and we were all playing 3DS, and I showed them the house I made in Happy Home Academy, Happy Home Designer. So
you're like, oh, I see what
you
did there.
I don't think it goes to the Amiibo. I think So it isn't that meta, but it's pretty meta.
Yeah, well, that's pretty good. I did see it yesterday and I considered it, but it's like I don't know, I wasn't too sure. So,
but it's got Isabelle.
I've just got so many, terrible memories of Mario Party that I just, like, it's like PTSD of wanting to pick up another game like that.
Yeah, that's true, though. Like, there are some, like, that's what I don't want to play another Mario Party game, ever. I'm sorry, I just don't.
What? Oh, I love Mario Party.
The new one wasn't received that well.
No, I love every Mario Party.
It's fun, but, like, an hour of minigames is, like, just too much for me these days.
It's fun, but it's just always been so intense. I remember, you know, one time in college, we were playing one of those Mario Party like 2 or 3 or something in the N64, and you know, it was just the entire evening of us yelling at each other and insulting each other and stuff like that. And we got down to the very last mini game, and everybody had a couple of stars, and everybody had done fairly well at something individually, so it was really a toss up who was going to win. And the last mini game, my friend Josh lost, and I don't know if it was him or his roommate, but somebody lost, and they threw a fit, and they jerked the controller, and it froze the game right before we got to find out who was to win. And I just remember, like, it became just the biggest thing after that for, like, the rest of the evening. They, like, didn't talk to each other, and it was just terrible, and I was like... I shouldn't have played Mario Party. Just shouldn't have done it.
I mean, that's awesome.
Beautiful story.
That's awesome, but I don't want that to happen in my life today. I want us to all get along and be happy and relax, and Amiibo Festival is great for that.
Now, what I always loved about Mario Party is so many of them came out in March, which is when my birthday is, and I have 3 siblings, so... It was like a vehicle for our sibling rivalry.
Oh, God.
Like, every year or so, we'd all tear each other apart in the new Mario Party.
Nice.
Yeah, my brother moved to New York in March, and his last day here, that's what we did, is we all played the new Mario Party game. And we had, like, this huge rotating group of people. It was all his friends, our family, everyone. So that made it fun. But if you're, like, one person or 2 people... It probably wouldn't be very much fun, but yeah.
Mario Party is awesome. I'm just saying that Mario Party is the sort of game that's intense, and you have to be 100% engaged throughout the game, because every 4 turns there's a mini game, and that's life and death. In Amiibo Festival, you don't have the mini games every 4 turns. It's just you've got this like 7 days, and then this is slowly ramping up pressure of selling your turnips. So it's a much more mellow experience, much more, I can breathe, and this won't get me, you know, I won't like have any conniptions or tantrums or whatever. It's just, it's a little more my pace these days, especially when it's like, you know, midnight, and I'm like, I should be going to sleep, but I'm just like too wound up.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
All right, we'll take a short break, and we'll come back with another topic about Nintendo entering other markets, other areas that they could expand their influence. So we'll take a short break and be back in a minute.
Welcome to Kim and Becky's Awesome Holiday Gift Guide!
Holiday shopping is kind of rough, and there are tons of gift guides to sort through for ideas. But get ready, toss out all the rest of those guides. Kim and Becky are bringing you this year's best gift ideas.
Okay, first up is 2 holiday classics in 1 package, Elf Bowling 1 and 2. After all, what's more festive than Santa knocking out a bunch of Union elves on strike with a bowling ball? Well, not a whole lot. But because the game... probably ridiculously cheap at GameStop and makes really bad crude jokes, it will make the perfect gift for that annoying 12-year-old cousin you're being forced to buy a gift for.
Disney's A Christmas Carol. It's a holiday classic. Or not, because this game looks seriously like the most boring bunch of minigames I've ever seen, with some creepy Disney-fied CGI characters thrown in. Though, there is this one where you get to bean Scrooge with snowballs, so there's that. Get this for your grouchy grandpa. He'll emphasize.
What could be better than Birdmania 3D? Birdmania 3D Christmas! Duh! Control Mojo and fly to Africa with your awesome itty-bitty Santa hat this time. It's 99 cents, it's Christmas, and it's perfect for that niece or nephew in your life who used to be obsessed with Flappy Bird before they broke their phones in anger.
For now, it's time to head back to the real discussions, but stick around for the next segment break and the last of this guide.
And welcome back. we're going to now jump into another bit of discussion and probably go a few random places near the end, but we'll see what happens. So Nintendo over the last couple of years has been sort of slowly making more moves into other areas, or, you know, trying to move into other areas, from apparently doing some sort of lifestyle quality of life thing to now sort of the mobile market, which isn't, you know, too far out the wheelhouse of games. But what do you guys think about Nintendo moving into other areas and branching out? I mean, they're entering the Universal Studio theme parks probably, what, next year or something?
Yep.
Just getting underway, at least.
Nintendo Land. Make it happen!
Yes.
Yeah, make a whole theme park.
Well, I mean, not Nintendo Land, but, like, Nintendo Land. Like, the game.
Oh, okay.
Like, the game showed exactly how it should be done. If you can make the game happen in real life, it'll be so epic. Like, seriously, who wouldn't want to, like, you know, be like the four links.
Yeah, five links.
I can't remember anymore. Yeah, five. You know?
Mm.
Yeah.
And then walk through.
Shooting arrows.
Yeah, walk through a quarter people. Thing. I mean, they have, like, a lot of theme park rides are, like, laser tag in a cord on a rail sort of experiences now. So,
yeah.
They can so do it. Oh my gosh. I don't know how they do the Mario Party, the Mario chasing things, though.
Well, yeah, it's they just could like, just have a playground.
Chasing each other.
It's like a kids' area. Just they could have the roller coaster be themed on that Donkey Kong game. The, you know, that's
tilt. Oh, yeah, theme. The minecart thing.
Yeah. I actually had at the Universal Studios thing, when they get that up and running, they should have stuff that you can unlock with your amiibo.
Oh my gosh.
An amiibo,
no.
And you can write.
They're making totally
I want
worth
it so much, but no.
if you bring the Star Fox amiibo on the 22nd of January, you will get a Star Fox bag.
Or you can go there and purchase the Nintendo Land exclusive Monita amiibo.
Okay, no, we don't need any, like, we don't need any Nintendo Land exclusive crap, no.
You can get exclusive it at Nintendo Land or the Nintendo World Store. And that's it.
No. God, oh yeah. For all of us who live in the middle of nowhere. But something like that might be kind of interesting, like, interactive with your own home amiibo or something like that. I don't know. I feel like they... It would be interesting, but I feel like they'd kind of risk people, you know, losing their amiibo in the park and throwing a fit over it. Like, parents being like, my child lost his Mario amiibo. Yeah, ma'am, we have about 50 Mario amiibos in this lost and found. Like,
which no, can you point out?
He has a red hat.
Yeah. Can you somehow...
Put them in a lineup.
Yeah. They could do something where they could do almost like... Again, I don't want to say exclusive, but I feel like they'd almost have to... Do exclusive amiibo cards that you could carry around the park and do stuff with? Because, like, Disney World does something like that with their Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom. Where you get to go around and, like, play little things with your cards and stuff. And then you could take them home and use
cool
them on your systems.
Were...
That would be really cool.
It'd be
just
cool
suck that you could only get them from the park.
Like a Mario or a Link. And that's just who you were in the minigames.
Yeah. But other markets to expand into? I mean, they're already starting back from their origins and going back into toys with the amiibo. I kind of almost wonder if they plan to do more with that kind of direction, with doing more of their own merchandising than just licensing the stuff out. And making it, like, Toys to Life stuff seems really big, obviously, still. With even more stuff coming out kind of along that line. So I almost wonder if they can want to continue kind of opening up that market more, but, like, what else can they do?
They're running out of characters. Like, they finished Smash Brothers. Like, who's left?
They'll restart the Smash line with the alternate colored costumes.
Oh, oh God, I would buy all of the... No!
Don't say that! Don't do
a Super Mario Series 2, and they'll finally have Birdo. You know? Birdo and... Wart. and Boshi. We need Boshi.
Who? What?
Boshi. You don't remember Boshi?
No.
What's that?
With the shades? Blue Yoshi with shades from Super Mario RPG.
No, sorry. Don't remember him.
No.
Oh, Boshi was awesome, man. Why? I'm holding out for that, like, Boshi Yan Yoshi, or maybe I'll just buy a blue one and put shades.
Just have somebody crochet shades for you, just put on Yoshi.
So another area that Nintendo could end up going into is film and television. How do you guys feel about them going, like, trying to do like TV shows or partnering with someone to do like a movie?
Well, I don't think they can do another movie because Bob Hoskins is dead. How do you do a sequel without Mario?
Well,
does anyone have confidence in like a movie treatment from Nintendo?
No, video game treatments of movies have been terrible. Like, all video game movies have been awful. I mean, the only thing good that's ever come out of any of them was the Mortal Kombat theme song. Like, let's be honest.
The first Mortal Kombat movie is wonderfully, wonderfully bad. The others are just bad.
Yeah, the second one is just bad.
And don't forget,
I like the space, the Wing Commander movie. On the record.
Well, how about just cartoons, cartoon series? I mean, like, you know, Sega's done the Sonic Boom cartoon, and that's meant to, you know, introduce kids to Sonic. Nintendo could, you know, do the same sort of thing, bring back some Mario cartoon or.
Well, their cartoons way back in the day were not bad. I love the Mario ones, the Zelda ones.
Just don't talk about the Zelda ones. I didn't like that one when I was a kid. Even I was like, what is this? Why is he so annoying?
I don't even remember Captain N, actually.
I remember that.
I remember the comics more than the show.
I feel like it's just one of those things that's going to have to be like... I mean, it's going to have to be really good to convince fans that going into film and other media is worth it, because any, you know, foray into that side thus far by any company has been a disaster in terms of, like, Hollywood just kind of rubbing crap all over it as far as what they choose to do. Like, I mean, they just seem to always kind of gravitate towards the wrong things when they use original material like that. And I mean, it's not really just video games that get the Hollywood treatment, but there's just been so few success stories with that kind of thing that it would have to be really hard to get it to any kind of success to continue with it that would actually make it worth their time.
Do a Chibi Robo movie. That would be pretty good.
Oh, that could be fun.
Oh, did anyone watch the Animal Crossing movie?
I did, yeah.
I did.
There was an Animal Crossing movie?
I was an anime, yeah.
I've seen parts of it.
Oh.
That was alright.
I did not know about that.
You know what? I think they hit the ball out of the park, and it sort of makes sense. It really fits the Japanese anime. Is the Kid Icarus promotional anime they did?
Oh, right? Yeah,
that they put out on video, on Nintendo Video on the 3DS. That was awesome. I was like, they released it in four parts, but I was excited to watch each one of those. So I don't know. Kid Icarus could work well with a TV series, but it would be very anime.
Yeah. And I think it's too late, Wonderful 101 should have had a show.
Yeah, I could have seen that.
I would have
same.
Watched
the
shit out of that show.
There's your next line of Amiibo.
Oh, God.
Wonderful 101.
Well, that's okay. It's only 100 because number 101 is me, so I have the Miis.
That's true.
Only 100.
Only 100.
You know, only 100 Amiibo to buy.
No, but my sister and I have always had the idea of Ocarina of Time being a trilogy, kind of like Lord of the Rings, where they do the first one as Child Link, and then at the end he takes the Master Sword, and then it's over. And then the second one is like some temples, just some filler. And then the third one, I mean, not filler, it's going to be epic and awesome. And then the third one is like, in the third one, you go back to being a child in like the spirit temple, I think it is. And you have to go back and forth and do stuff. Yeah. And I think that'd be really cool, because it would tie the child actor and the adult actor together in the film at the same time.
That would be really interesting.
And then fight Ganon, and that's the end.
I like this treatment.
Just have to find somebody who'd do it and do it well is the problem.
Buy a bus ticket to Hollywood right now.
No, I've thought about it for a long time, and I've given up now. So I'm putting this out into the world. I'd rather see it than make it. Just someone, please, make a Zelda trilogy.
Just...
And it has to... No, Link cannot talk. And
don't make it crap.
No talking. It has to be... You know what? Just...
Yeah, I'm on board with the no talking.
Just give me a six-hour Let's Play of Ocarina of Time.
Of Legend of Zelda.
That's what I want. I want to watch that. I think the movie theater.
The Netflix rumor was interesting because I think it would be interesting to see like a proper TV show, even if it was only like 10 to 12 episodes long or something. Yeah. I don't think they should base it on any particular game either. It should, you know, just take
what
elements
was the Netflix...
and invent a bunch of stuff.
What was the Netflix rumor again? Was it attached to
was it a year or two ago? There was a rumor going around that Netflix and Nintendo were working on developing a Zelda show.
Yeah. It was supposed to be, they called it, like, a family-friendly version of Game of Thrones, which is almost an oxymoron, but, you know, it's nice
so
to think
about. So confused right now.
Yeah.
I cannot picture that.
No. I was really intrigued by it just because I was kind of like, you know, if they give it the real epic fantasy treatment like Game of Thrones has had, that was, like, the only thing I was trying to take from that because I was like, everything else just doesn't work with family-friendly. But I was like, if they give it the real epic fantasy treatment, I felt like it could really, it had potential, you know, if they were just like driven to really creating the world in a really broad spectrum, not just, you know, making some really stupid looking sets and calling it good.
Yeah.
And just like putting the energy into the costuming and the sets and all of that, I was like, you know, this could be a genuine thing. I don't entirely know what they were going to do as far as, like, obviously, there was no teaser about what the story was going to be or anything. It was probably
a young boy.
Most people kind of assumed it was going to be like an original.
And has to go save the princess.
No, I think the most the most interesting stuff that you could you'd pull from for like a Zelda show is the stuff that isn't even in the games. I mean, the stuff before Ocarina of Time started with like Link's mom like fleeing Hyrule and, you know, going to hiding and stuff. And then you have all the stuff with Wind Waker, they flooded the land. And there's usually more interesting stuff story-wise outside of the main games.
Yeah. Because most of the preoccupation of the games is obviously to focus on what's going to make the best game mechanics as opposed to, you know, what's going to make the most epic story. So, you know, if they'd have to go the other direction if they were going to develop a movie or a TV series. And, you know, really consider what would be the most interesting things to see on screen as opposed to, you know, what's going to be the most interactive? How could we use this touch screen?
See, but Link can't talk.
So are we talking?
No talking.
Link could be a mute. They could make him mute. That's, you know, what that whole representation thing.
Link could be like Superman in, like, the Supergirl TV series. It's like, he's part
not
of
there.
The world, but you never see him, and he never says anything.
Link has to be the main character, but he doesn't talk, and he doesn't talk to anyone. He just goes out into, like, caves and kills things. And that's it. That's the whole story. Yeah.
The whole show.
And
then at the end, he goes, well, excuse me.
No!
And we need Linkle.
No!
We need Linkle and Tingle and Link. Those will be our main characters. Winkle and Tingle.
I think he means Tingle.
Oh, tingle, okay.
Anyway, so let's get back on track a little bit.
The topic
again is Nintendo branching out into other areas. So if Nintendo does go into like some sort of health thing, like, how do you guys think they'll try and leverage any of their game properties in some way as well? Or it would be completely separated?
I think it'll be separate.
I think it will be separate. But, I mean, I think there's separation, but probably some connection through the smartphone aspect, through their smart device connections, because the NFC technology just really opens it up.
Yeah.
You know, if you can have these low-powered wireless chipsets that can do, you know, communication of a short range, then you can have that in a in an activity track, a pedometer, something. And then that can be, that data can be like related to a smartphone app. And via the smartphone app or via like the gamepad, that can be tied into the greater ecosystem of Nintendo games. So like when Nintendo was like talking about this whole quality of life thing way back, I was thinking, oh, you know, what they really need to do is like take the game coins, the play coins in like the 3DS and like break that out into like a credit card sized activity tracker device that you could just put in your wallet. So wherever you're going, you can just have that in your wallet, this activity tracker, and then you can bring it out, and then you can you can upload your play coins to something and then use that. That's where I see like they could do a sort of like fitness, quality of life thing, and then have it connected into the greater ecosystem. So I don't know. Random
I could see that happening with the Nintendo account, because they said that it's gonna work on all of their like things, not just like 3DS and Wii U, but maybe even like their quality of life platform. And then you can like by playing the games and doing stuff, you get coins that you can use to like buy like physical things. So maybe if you exercise, you do get like free stuff.
Do you think it's possible that while Nintendo was developing this quality of life platform, that they realized that the way to make it bigger and to push it forward would be to put it on mobile, and then that's when they decided to move sort of more into mobile, like on top of the
I think definitely stuff. Honestly,
maybe the mobile because, idea like, came from that quality of life.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's possible. Yeah, because I feel like that platform is probably the most conducive to doing something like quality of life, because the idea is obviously to get you up and out and active. For the most part, and that's not really going to happen with consoles and even really handhelds, because you're not really doing much moving around when you're playing your 3DS, even though you can pull it out anywhere you want. Whereas on a mobile device, you know, you can literally activate the app or do anything you want on your phone with it while you're doing something else. Like, I'm constantly, you know, flipping through things on my phone while I'm working out or on a walk or something like that. So I think the mobile platform is the most conducive platform to have that whole angle come from. So it's possible that that's the reason they started trying to go in this direction, you know, to eventually bring that concept back.
Yeah, probably the only exercise I'll be getting is with Pokemon Go.
Let's be honest, that's like, I keep seeing posts from people all over the place on like Tumblr that say, you know, Nintendo just keeps trying more and more to get us out and socialize. You know, they make us trade to get our Pokemon. They make us keep doing. Now they're finally telling us, get out of your house to catch these stupid Pokemon. You have to do it now.
Hey, Pokemon. So you're saying Pokemon Go is Nintendo's quality of life app?
I think, you know, there's some relationship.
I think it's my quality of life app, because I'm probably, like, I never played Wii Fit. I never play even, like, Mario Sports. Whenever Nintendo mentions exercising, I'm just like, whatever. Like, the closest I've ever gotten is owning a Wii Fit trainer amiibo. But other than that, yeah, no exercise.
You know, I've been carrying around the Wii Fit pedometer for, like, ages now, and I don't think I've uploaded it to the game in the past like 6 months. I just like, I need to have it on my belt. It's become a part of like my thing now.
You know, I saw the whole Wii Fit U bundle on Nintendo store for like $25, and I thought about getting it, but they say that it works with up to a size 12 like foot size, and I wear a size 13, so I've just been waiting for them to come out with a bigger one, but I don't think it's gonna happen. Like, could I still play it if my feet are just a little bit bigger than the balance board?
I think so. I think you'll just have less balance board to work with. I mean, thinking like Nintendo tends to be conservative in their estimates, it'll probably work, but just slightly less optimal. Like, if you're playing the step, what is their stepping game? The stepping mini game there, which I love. You'll just have to be a little more conscious of where you're stepping if you want to actually
got it. I got so tired when you said step, step. I was like, no, that's too many steps. So maybe I'll skip it.
You're just like, why?
But it's such a fun minigame. That's my favorite minigame in that entire thing, the rhythm stepping to music. Yeah.
So what other areas do we think, like, just get a bit crazy? Where could we see Nintendo going? Like, what's an idea that we could give Nintendo?
Well, historically, Nintendo has been in, like, Instant Rice and Love Hotels, right?
So yeah.
There's precedence for, like, the out there here,
yeah,
we
can go crazy.
I want Nintendo to get into, like, high-end home decorations. Like, just, like, super classy shit. Like, I've always wanted... I can't find anywhere, but I've always wanted a giant sticker of, like, Wall Link from Link Between Worlds to put on the back of my door.
Yeah.
So when I shut my door, like, oh, Link is hiding there. And I can't find it anywhere. Or have, like...
I don't know if that'd be considered high-end, you know?
Yeah, I was thinking high-end, like, glassware and stuff. Like,
yeah, I know. I was thinking, like, silverware.
Like, official Wind Waker stained glass windows. I would buy that.
Oh, God. That would be fancy.
Dude, that'd be awesome. If I could get, like, a Zelda-themed room. Like, yeah. This is the Zelda collection, you know?
Oh, yeah. You know something like VR Bradley. This is the
hardwood
Zelda collection.
Mahogany desks. It'd be like Animal Crossing. You know, where you get the entire set in Animal Crossing, it's like, no, I must have the wardrobe that goes with the bed, that goes with the wallpaper and the flooring, and oh my gosh. Okay, I'll stop now.
I think something that would be interesting, just because it's something Disney's kind of done, would be for Nintendo to go into, like, educational stuff. They've done it in the past with, like, you know, Mario teaches typing and stuff like that, but obviously it's never really gone beyond that, aside from, you know, just fun video games that are kind of educational, but it would be like they had their own, you know, trying to teach kids to read, trying to teach kids math. I feel like they could totally do that if they really, really put their mind to it. I don't know if it'd be interesting for any of us, obviously, those people who have kids, they might want to, you know, pick up a Mario hooked on phonics.
Camp Pokemon is like an iPhone game geared at like very small children, and it's an educational game, but instead of teaching you about like the real world, it just teaches you about Pokemon. Like, it's a children's game pulled from the Pokemon world and released here in our world.
Yeah. Wow.
I don't know if that counts as being educational then.
I was gonna say, they could even teach stuff to their target demographic, you know, us, like, yeah, we'll teach you how to balance your checkbook. We'll teach you how to, you know, keep track of your finances.
This sounds like a Brain Age game. You know what I think was one of the huge, like, really cool things they started experimenting with the DS? It just didn't really, like, go all the way. I love the idea that you could use it as some sort of, like, electronic guide to, like, a museum. Or, like, an electronic interface to, like, a baseball stadium's, you know, concession system, or like a guide for Disneyland. You know, that was all really cool stuff, and it's sort of taken over by like mobile apps, I guess, these days.
Yeah.
But I think like one of the cool things is if Nintendo incorporates some sort of GPS component to like a future bit of hardware, maybe it could be like a real live permanent like guide, like a sort of like, what is the Louvre Museum game they made? Like, if you incorporate Google Maps, you could have, like, historical notes pop up, like, everywhere. It's like, oh, and this building on the right is, like, a historical landmark from this. Or, like, do you hear some native plants, you know?
You know, that could actually happen.
And then that...
Because Niantic, the studio that's doing Pokemon Go, their first thing was an app called Field Trip, where it worked with your Android phone to tell you about, like, cool buildings nearby or historical landmarks. And now they're partners with Nintendo.
Yeah, I'm excited about the prospect of, like, GPS and sort of, like, using that to engender a new form of interacting with the world. Because, like, what is Nintendo about? Like, they can make movies of their stuff, but they're about, like, finding new modes of play and finding new modes of sometimes that means finding new ways to look at the world around you. And, you know, not all of us can, like, get down on a, like, all fours and, like, grub through the plants in their garden like Miyamoto. That's what we need Nintendo to, like, sort of say, hey, you know, step outside of your current mode of doing things, of looking at things, and, you know, take a, consider looking at this, at the same stuff from a different perspective. And so, I mean, GPS would be a great way of them to, like, take the way we interact with electronic software and add a different mode of relationship to it, just like they added a different mode with like brain training, just like they changed the conversation with like Wii Fit.
Yeah.
You know, they're finding what are the different ways we can relate to this stuff. And maybe it isn't the traditional game, but it's very much a but it's very much like in their body of work to explore these fields.
That just gave me an idea actually. What if it was like some sort of app that it was like your own personal map, so it just mapped where you have been. So it's like a version, you know how like in Zelda, how you like the map isn't sort of uncovered unless you go there. Maybe you do that in real life, so then you can sort of track
where
you in the world and like where you should go
That is awesome.
That would like incentivize people to like say, oh, I haven't gone to this spot on my map around where I am. Maybe I should head out there and add it to, you know, my personal map.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
I feel like there's a lot of things that Nintendo can get into, like, with video games, and that's really what they do, is they just, they find out how video games can incorporate a lot more things than just entertainment.
Mm.
You know, like you said, brain training, and I mean, obviously with, like, Art Academy and stuff, they've gone into artistic, you know, kind of just teaching artistic basics and like doing, if they chose to go into the lifestyle, you know, things with mobile, it kind of is just how can they incorporate new things into their video games and make their video games part of every aspect of life you can even think of, you know?
You can actually buy the furniture from Animal Crossing.
What?
Wait, are you saying this? Are you stating this? Did you look this up on the internet?
No, they
right
should
now?
Do that.
Because if so, I wanted
the
link.
You could actually buy like furniture based on the Animal Crossing furniture.
Well, with 3D printing.
That's true. It could be a thing.
Someone should totally do that. Authentic furniture from all video games. Yours for the low, low price of 10,000 bells.
So you can be in debt just like in the game.
Nintendo, they can open up like a Tom Nook like loan
bank.
Company.
Yeah, home loans. Nintendo home
loans.
Oh
god.
And listing everything in like dollars, they're listing in bells just to be annoying. So there's like a conversion, you gotta run it through.
Oh god. That sounds like a terrible idea.
I think I read somewhere that a bell is worth like a dime. Like, someone did the math.
Yeah, there's actually, like, a real-world money value for bells in Animal Crossing. I think people sold them on eBay for a while.
What?
Yeah, I think you could buy, like, the person who would come to your town and, like, give them to you or something. I don't know. I haven't really looked into it. I just heard that it was, like, a thing for a while.
It's mind-blowing. So maybe Nintendo should get into cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Bells is the new Bitcoin.
Oh, jeez.
I'll just walk out here and shake these trees and go bell mining.
If only it was
that's
easy.
That's how you bell mine. You have to get a tree and you have to shake it. And then every X number of trees, 10 bells will drop out.
All right. We might be at the end of this conversation. All right, so I guess we'll leave it there for today.
All right.
All right.
I still want to know where to buy Animal Crossing furniture. So someone make that happen.
This is his sincerest hope, is to find Animal Crossing furniture.
I'm sure there's someone on Etsy that does something similar.
Makes custom furniture.
Okay, everyone, thanks for joining me again. Do you guys want to give out your Twitter handles, if you remember yours this week, Carmine? I didn't check if it was correct or not.
Good job.
It was correct. The problem is I've got like 3 Twitter accounts, but I think you got the right one. I've got like 2 test accounts that I'm on right now. Yeah, fly. At Kai underscore red. Or underscore? Go for me last! Do me last!
He's gotta look it up again. Well, mine, as always, is at BHDangerface. It's easy enough to remember.
And I'm at AdventureBuddy01, and A is the only vowel in adventure.
And I'm at NicholasNWR, and we also have the official Connectivity Twitter account. If more people could follow the official account, that'd be great. We could get some participation from the audience. Send us questions or anything we'll talk about on the show. We may even start running some, basic competitions on the Twitter account. So look out for that. It might be an Amiibo giveaway or something along those lines in the future. And
found it at Kai, C-A-I, underscore, red, R-E-D, underscore. Ah.
There you go.
You can calm down about finding that now. Okay, everyone, thanks again, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
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 Welcome back to Kim and Becky's Awesome Holiday Gift Guide. Let's dive right back into the good stuff. What to buy for Christmas?
Just Sing, Christmas Songs for Nintendo DS, has 3 volumes to choose from. So much singing. So much Christmas. All you have to do is vaguely sing holiday classics until your relatives can't take it anymore. Perfect for that hyperactive niece in your life. Or take the reins and clear the room yourself.
If you can get over how creepy the Santa on the cover looks, then Christmas Wonderland 4 could be the ideal gift for kids whose parents have never touched a video game in their entire lives. It's got all the intense point-and-clicking action of, Solitaire.
Do you like brain teasers? Then Santa Factory is perfect for you. Not because the gameplay is particularly hard, but because we can't figure out what exactly this game even is. Is it trying to teach words? What's up with that disembodied robotic voice? If you need to be taught what a carrot is, then how do you have the motor skills to draw lines and solve logic puzzles? What is the meaning of life? Give this to that cousin who just finished Philosophy 101 and thinks he's deep.
And that's it! With these foolproof ideas, you'll be sure to give unforgettable gifts. Whether or not they're unforgettably good or bad remains to be seen, but your wallet will definitely be safe.
Hi, it's Nick here. I just wanted to jump in at the end and remind everyone that the NWR Child's Play Telethon will be happening this weekend, December 5th at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time. If the donations get up to the required level, Connectivity will be providing a live chat retro Mario Sunshine segment. We'll be discussing a bit about the history of the game and some thoughts from today's perspective. So if you like Mario Sunshine, be sure to tune in for that if we are lucky enough to reach the required donation level. Also, I forgot to mention that the Connectivity Twitter account is at ConnectivityNWR, and like I said in the main show, we may be, trying to get some followers, trying to get some participation, and we will probably be doing some Twitter competition, so if you follow Connectivity, you will be able to be notified when there is a competition underway. So thanks again, and thanks for listening.
Welcome back to Kim and Bessie's... I can't even pronounce my own name. Okay. Welcome back to Kim and Becky's Awesome Holiday... The fuck?
Okay.
You gotta pull together. You got it together now.
I'm good.
Okay.